Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you here to join us for our hymn sing-along, and welcome those of you that have already joined in on the Zoom. I asked as I was on my way up here and got our first request. So we're going to start with hymn 191, page 191 in the hymnal, Jesus Loves Me, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3 of 191. Okay, 496, I heard, Sweet Hour of Prayer, 496, and 1 and 3, 496. Yes, Anita?
About 277,
Tell Me the Stories of Jesus 1 and 3, and I'll change your name back to Alita. Okay. I think I called you Anita. good. Is it a little bit too? Okay, we're going to have Colleen play through this. Okay. Okay, we'll do verses 1 and 3 of 277.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Saints by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Into the city I'd fall.
Time for one more. Yes.
131, 1 and 3.
Okay. 131 verses 1 and 3. We gather together. 131. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for Hymn Sing. We'll continue with our worship service.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. Thank you, Colleen. We're happy to have you here today on this first Sunday in November, as well as those of you that have joined us on Zoom. Start out with some announcements today. Please remember to sign in on the red pew pad sitting on your pew so that we know who is here today. And there are blue prayer cards in front of you in the pew. If you have any prayer requests, please fill those out and you can drop them in the plate as you leave the church today. So we'll start out with our November birthdays. We have Austin Barrett, Brian Porter, Sue Abel, Rebecca Harps, Ray Wilson, Ron Fox, and Jerry Pitzenberger. So please wish them a happy birthday when you see them, and shall we sing? Next, the November newsletter is available in the Narthex. Please contact the office if you'd like to have it emailed to you, or so you can read it online, or you can pick one up at the church. And then please note, if you come by the church office during the week, please make sure to park at least 10 feet away from the mailbox, as they're not delivering the mail if the mailbox is being blocked. So please remember to do that. And our next Saturday movie will be December 2nd at 11 a.m. It is The Man Who Invented Christmas. This is the story behind Charles Dickens' creation of A Christmas Carol. So that sounds pretty interesting. And then coming in January 6th, the Saturday movie will be Mrs. Harris Comes to Paris, or Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. Either way. And then this month's pastor's luncheon will take place November 8th at noon at Legends 8 China in Kalamasa. And I guess this month we have a special Thanksgiving price of only $10 a person. So please join us. It's a very nice lunch, and it's great fellowship with your fellow church members.
It's Wednesday, so make sure you sign up so that I would know how many of you are coming.
And then we also have our all-church Thanksgiving meal coming up Sunday, November 19th after worship. So please sign up with the food that you're going to want, so they make sure that they provide enough food. But there will be turkey, salmon, mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, green beans, rolls and butter, cranberry sauce, and three different kinds of pie, pumpkin, apple, or pecan. So please make sure to sign up. It's a great meal. And then please join us on Consecration Sunday, which is that same Sunday, November 19th. So your pledge cards may be mailed into the church office or placed in the plate on any Sunday, or you can bring it to the office. And the annual charge conference reports are due by the chairmen of the different committees. They're due no later than November 15th. And just a note, the first group to get their reports in to Lauren will be eligible for a prize. So that sounds promising. Okay, admin council members, the annual church conference will be held November 30th at 7 p.m. For any congregation member that would like to attend, please contact Lauren in the office so that she can provide you with the Zoom link so that you can attend via internet. And next, sanctuary Christmas decorating will be held after the service on November 20th. Oh, sorry, November 26th. I guess I should put my readers on. November 26th, yeah, thank you. All hands are welcome to help prepare the sanctuary for the Advent season. So please join in if you're available. The Good Samaritan Fund, please give money or state or script cards to the Good Samaritan Fund. The money is used to help those less fortunate with food, which is a great cause. And then on that same note, we are the Cereal Church. Please donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other food items, or even a script card. And they will bring it to the at the end of the month to the ICSC so the food can be distributed to the families in need. And another reminder that Stephen Mickle is looking for gently used adult clothing for inmates that are being released from prison. And this is mostly male clothing. And as he mentioned last week, the clothes do not need to be washed. Stephen will take care of that when they bring those in. So if you have some extra clothes in your closet, think about bringing those in for us. And next, the Hearts Grow. The second and fourth Sunday, so that would be next Sunday. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. It is a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to connect us to the Creator. And it is held in the children's church room. And lastly, the Samaritan's Purse Christmas boxes are due today. If you did forget to bring them, you still can bring them to the office tomorrow morning. And do we have any other announcements? Pastor, no? Okay. Please rise now as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Jesus invites us to the gospel feast and wells joy deep within our souls.
He prepares us for us at table to celebrate life even before harsh realities.
We know that he causes everything to work together for our good. Jesus is the delight of our existence and keeps us singing as we go. And our opening hymn this morning is number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Wait.
is with you, and thank you. Alrighty.
Hey, Bruce.
We have our faithful worshipers joining us via Zoom. Hello, Helen, up there in Chico. So good to see you. And we also have June and Joyce joining us. Hello there. So good to see you.
It's time now for the sharing of Joyce concerns.
If you can remember my grandson, Eric Castaneda, tomorrow he's going for a job interview as a train conductor for BNS train. So it would be a wonderful job for him with great benefits.
Nice.
In San Bernardino.
And Joy, I hope it's a joy. I shouldn't say that. Next weekend, my oldest grandson is getting married. So it's quite a step forward for him. So I appreciate any prayers that everything goes as it should. Thank you.
And I have joys that the movie was really well attended yesterday, and it was really kind of sad that we didn't get to watch the movie we'd planned, but we got to watch another one and it was okay. So that was good. Anyway, I also would like to remind people that if you don't have one of these name tags, write your name on the parking lot on the magnetic whiteboard in the back and we'll make you one. Then we know what your name is and we can say hello a little bit easier. So, anybody else?
Good morning, everybody. If anybody doesn't remember me, I'm Chris. I'm the Limey, also an American citizen now. So
yay.
I'd like to say hi to everybody. And I'm glad to be back in church. God bless you all. Good to have
you. Chris, you definitely look different as an American citizen. You look more beautiful.
Oh.
Mary, please introduce yourself. Mary is here with us, and apparently, yes, go ahead, Marion. Introduce your folks over there.
I have Joy. My daughter is visiting from Illinois with her husband, Tom, and we are here to celebrate her son graduating from the Marine Corps. San Diego, so, yeah.
And then Mary, next to you, Mary, yes?
Do you have Joy?
Mary, go ahead, yes?
I have Joy just being here.
You welcome, know what? Mary. Write your name down for a name tag. Thank you.
Right, and choir members and Colleen, make a note of Mary, because she's a great singer.
Well, my family is really remote from me, but tomorrow morning, 7:30 Minneapolis time, my brother-in-law, I only have one sister, so one brother-in-law is having an open heart surgery. His name is Jim Martin. He's a practicing attorney yet. He's in his upper 70s, but he's got either a triple or a quadruple bypass tomorrow morning at 7:30. I'll be on my knees at 5:30 here praying for him. His name is Jim Martin. Okay.
We'll pray for Jim. And just so you know, I asked you to pray before for my neighbor Leonard that had open heart surgery, and he's doing really well. So I hope that it goes just as well for Jim.
Pray that all the firefighters that are fighting fire suppression in Riverside get home safely. My son-in-law is one of them. And also, I'd like prayers. My daughter and my son-in-law are hoping to buy a home in San Luis Obispo. It's a probate situation, so they are one of many, and they really would like to get into this house. So prayers for Kim and Dave. She grew up in this church. Mm-hmm. So we just hope that this will come true for them.
Yeah. San Luis Obispo is a beautiful area.
Yes.
That's even better.
My name is Pat Shores. I have both a joy and a concern. My joy is that yesterday I missed the movie, which I wasn't happy about, but my niece's babies were having their first birthday party, and it was during the time of the movies, and I had to make a decision, and it was tough, but I picked the babies. Anyway, it was a wonderful party, so that's my joy. My concern is that Mark and Lori are leaving. I think the church should take a vote and see if we can get them to stay.
not yet.
Well, don't shock me.
I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update on me. On Friday, I went in for my CT scan for my cancer, and I didn't give positive results, not the news I was wanting, so just continued prayers for me, and thank you for everybody who signed the prayer quilt, because I love it, and I take it everywhere where I go.
That's great. That's great.
Anyone else in the sanctuary? Anyone on Zoom, raise your hand and unmute. Okay, June.
No, she has to unmute. Oh. June, you have to unmute. Click on ask to unmute.
Yep, there you go.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a praise. I have a new great-granddaughter born on Halloween. Her name is Riley Abigail Vance.
Nice. Congratulations.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Anyone else?
Okay, thanks for everyone for sharing. Please join me now in the unison prayer, as printed in your bulletin. Oh, wait, okay. Dear Lord Jesus, we often walk through a rugged path with many troubles surrounding us. Our hearts become weary, pressed by the weight of care. Joy and peace escape us, and we are left with gloom. Grant us wisdom to glimpse your footprints on where we have been and your beaming countenance toward us. May we rejoice always, for in your presence is fullness of joy. This we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those prayer requests and concern that have been shared, and remember all the loved ones that God has placed in our life circle, the people near and far who is in need of God's healing presence and healing touch. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge your presence in our lives. We also acknowledge the troubles in our lives as well. But our secret of survival is to hold on to your presence, constantly reminding ourselves that you are with us, regardless the troubling circumstances. And it often takes a strong faith in you to see you, at work on our behalf. Without faith, O Lord, we can lose the glimpse of your sight, your presence in our lives. So, Lord, we come once more to your presence and ask you to strengthen us, revitalize our faith, that we may continue to grow in faith, that we may become stronger in faith, that we may not be swayed by our changing life circumstances, by the troubles that surround us, but hold on to you regardless. And as we do that, as we trust in your loving care, as we trust in your plan, your sovereign presence in our lives, we then can find joy and peace. So, Lord, in spite of all the problems we see in our lives, we can still continue on in your peace and in your joy. In our prayers this morning, is that you restore this joy within our soul and our spirit and our lives. So, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to come. The Spirit that may strengthen us, give us this faith that's not swayed by anything. So we ask you, O Lord, you ask you to touch us with your presence and with your power, that we may receive this blessing of intimate fellowship with you as we worship you this morning. May we know, may we feel how close you are. There's nothing to worry about our life circumstances. All we have to do is to come before you with all the cares and all the troubles and hand them unto you. For you will gladly take them from us and make our burdens lightened. So we come as we worship you this morning, as we lift up our prayers and our concerns unto you. And we know when we leave this place, we will feel your presence in our lives. We will be liberated from the burdens of life, and we will receive strength to continue on. In the midst of our troubles, O Lord, we acknowledge that you continue to fulfill your will upon this church, in our community, in our nation, and in the world today. So we submit to you once more. We yield our plans to you, that your will may be fulfilled, that your name may be glorified by it. So as one community of faith, now we join our hearts and prayer together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join in singing our next hymn, number 314, In the Garden. Our scripture reading today is from the New Testament, Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 39. Jesus calls Levi. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax collection station, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "To those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Next, the question about fasting. Then they said to him, "John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink." Jesus said to them, "You cannot make wedding attendants fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise, not only will one tear the new garment, but the piece from the new will not match the old garment. Similarly, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will spill out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, 'The old is good.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. Believe or not, you are the closest group of people to me personally, because, I mean, as you know, I'm the only one in here away from my family. Most of my family is in Korea. My sister and I spoke to each other last week, and they had a big gathering, you know, all our cousins and you know, big families gathered together and stuff. And, of course, you know, I was the only one that was missing. But I have my family in here, so that's okay. I am so glad to see you all and pray that the Holy Spirit will visit us individually this morning as we worship, as we open our hearts to Him and hear Him speak to us, whispering to our ears, to our hearts, that we may receive the strength and encouragement from God's presence. I'm going to share with you a little bit of the personal side of my story today, and goes along with the message that God has placed in my heart. While Johnny, my second son, was in college in Boston, he met some Korean student there, and Johnny happened to notice that a pretty Korean girl kept staring at him in a classroom for some time. Becky asked him on the phone, "So, did you approach and get to know her?" John said, "Mom, I'm not that easy. I know how to play games." Then, you know, suddenly the pandemic shut down the school, and Johnny did not have a single chance to get to know her. About a year ago, Becky, Johnny, and I were at Stater Bros near my home. A pretty cashier was looking at Johnny with a smile. The cashier apparently showed some interest in him. As we left the store, we asked Johnny if he noticed her look toward him. And of course, Johnny's response was the same. I know how to play a game. We do not know the kind of game that Johnny plays, but the girl does not work there anymore. And Johnny's up in Seattle, of course. Becky said, she might have eaten something wrong to have caused the brain damage to Johnny while she was pregnant with him. Or he got a dumb DNA from me. So figure that out. Becky and I had many fun memories of raising three kids, but it was not always the case. Esther was about 3 years old. I was working on the roof of gazebo in the backyard one day and heard Esther say, I mean, she was like, what, 3 years old. She said, hi, Dad. So I turned and Esther's head was rising up on top of the leather. In a split second, I had to think of all possible scenarios of what could happen next. I did not want her to move one more move. There wasn't enough room for me to grab her steadily. So guess what happened? I jumped off the roof. And climbed back up and brought Esther down safely. I suffered from a slip disc for the next 6 months. For many years, I have been waiting for my kids to grow up and move out. And you know the reason. Becky and I are grateful, absolutely grateful, that the two boys are out of the house. Becky and my last project were Lucy, our kids' favorite dog, and Esther, who will graduate in less than a year. Becky and I have been telling each other that we will soon be free. Then, as some of you know, Lucy died about a couple of weeks ago. And surprisingly, my three kids are just fine about this situation, and I'm the one who is suffering from the loss. My house all of a sudden feels empty without Lucy, and I just don't like this emptiness syndrome. I began to have a wishful thinking about if Esther could find the job close by, and if she would not need to move out. We'll see what happened. We all have crosses to carry and wish that we will be free from them someday. But look at them from the other perspective. The burdens of life do not always give us pain. They often are the sources of joy. I mean, in my age at this point, I wish I could have enjoyed more of the raising kids and taking care of the dog. But it's kind of late. Now, let's look at the Word of God and see what God says about the joy of living that slips away because of our wrong attitude and lack of faith. As we know so well, Jesus came to suffer and be the sacrifice for our redemption. He had a very humble beginning, born in a manger. He faced the death threat immediately after his birth. He and his earthly parents had to move out of the country. He grew up in a poor community upon which people looked down. Satan tested him as he was about to launch his public ministry. He constantly faced threats from religious leaders. For the remainder of his earthly life, Jesus faced constant challenges. At last, he was wrongfully accused of and died the most gruesome death in the tree. So we understand the life of Jesus was filled with nothing but pain. Is this a correct understanding? No, it is not. Consider the other side of his life. Jesus had lasting joy. Before the first Christmas, an angel of the Lord appeared and told shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I'll bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Great joy for you and I. Because he was the very embodiment of God's joy. The Jewish calendar is filled with feasts to commemorate God's mighty works of salvation. Feasts were required by laws, and Jesus regularly participated in those celebrations. Even when Jesus faced the cross, Jesus celebrated the feast of Passover by having meals with his disciples. I mean, just think about it. You know, if you face some very serious situations, and that's going to happen, what happening will happen within a month or within a week, would you have a good appetite? No. I mean, you would eat and then would have a mild digestion. Or you would get so depressed. But Jesus, facing the cross, celebrated. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame." The shame didn't matter. The pain of the cross didn't matter. Jesus saw the joy before that. Jesus brought joy to the world, taught that our life should be like feast. He saw joy even amid the excruciating pain of the cross. Now, the gospel lesson this morning describes Jesus enjoyed meals with tax collectors and sinners despite the criticism. I mean, you know, you want to go out lunch? We're going to go out lunch this Wednesday, and we enjoy this, you know, buffet meal once a month, right? You know, we get together. We just, you know each other. We all love each other. It's a very, you know, entertaining occasion. But, I mean, think about it. You are surrounded with some nasty people, right? Would you enjoy the meal? Jesus did. Jesus called Levi, another name for Matthew, while he sat in the tax booths. Jews regarded tax collectors as traitors, the worst sinners in Israel. They were Jews but worked for a foreign oppressor. And religious leaders could not comprehend Jesus calling a tax collector to be his disciples. They were appalled to see Jesus had dinner with not just one or two, large group of tax collectors. That's what the scripture said. There were a bunch of tax collectors sitting together with Jesus, eating with them. What's wrong? Jesus' association with tax collectors was not acceptable to any average Jew, more so to the religious leaders. So they complained, why does Jesus eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? To justify their complaint, they pointed out that John's disciples fasted and prayed often. An obvious contrast between John's disciples and Jesus and his followers. Jesus defended himself and said, "The friends of the bridegroom cannot fast while he is with them." I mean, this is very important for us to note. The friends of the bridegroom cannot fast while he is with them. Is Jesus with us? Yes, he is. we are invited to a feast. Should we not celebrate? We should. But do we? A couple of chapters later in Luke's gospel, Jesus recognized what people said to him. He said, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking." Jesus recognized it. He came eating and drinking. "And you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Well, Jesus did enjoy eating and drinking. He did. Loved using illustration and parables with feast. In Jesus' parable of the prodigal, the father was thrilled to have his son return home and threw a wild party. Jesus explained how happy our Heavenly Father would become when a sinner repents. The parable doesn't say it, but we can picture that the returned prodigal continued to enjoy the life in his father's house. And this is how we Christians should live. Enjoy the life in father's house. However, in actuality, only some choose to celebrate life, as in the following parables of the wedding feast. In Matthew 22, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven with a king's wedding banquet for his son. The king prepared a banquet and invited guests, but those who were invited refused to come. So the king sent his servant to street corners and invited anyone they could find. In Matthew 25, Jesus gave the parable of the 10 virgins to explain the kingdom of heaven. They were getting ready for the wedding, but only 5 of them had a chance to go into the feast because the other 5 fell asleep when the bridegroom arrived. Only 5 wise ones prepared the oil in their lamp. Great food was prepared for the memorable occasion, but some of the invited guests did not get to enjoy the feast because they had issues, they had attitude problems, they had lacked wisdom. Isn't this true? God has invited us to the feast that he prepared, but we do not get to enjoy the feast because we have some issues. We lack wisdom. We lack faith. Let me illustrate what I mean with the illustration that maybe all of you may know by this time. You know, we just installed a movable partition in the fellowship hall, right? And because it's completed, I can share with you candidly what went on, okay? I began researching about it in the spring of last year. I contacted some contractors here and got ideas about the options and prices to replace the old accordion doors. After realizing the church could not afford to hire contractors for it, I decided to find the manufacturer in China and import it myself. Like so many projects that I have worked on, the project was completely new to me, and I had a lot of questions about if it was something that I could handle. After about a dozen times to measure dimensions, I was not sure if I had got them correctly. What if the finished product did not fit and there was no option of returning it? After I finalized the design, I wondered if the manufacturer could produce a quality product. What if they are a fraudulent company, since I did not know them? After the manufacturer finished the project, I learned that the company never handled the shipping to Long Beach. They could not help me clear customs. With new import regulations by Homeland Security, going through customs became very complicated. If I could not get it through the customs on time, I was told that we would be charged fine as high as $5,000. Thankfully, customs were all cleared, barely within the deadline, and I went to pick up the cargo with the U-Haul truck. And it turns out that the partitions were so heavy, and I began to worry about if the building structure could handle 500 pounds on each room. You know, we have two rooms in the back of the fellowship hall. Contractors advised me there was no need to worry about the weight, but I wasn't sure, and I had to wait until they came back from Alaska. And, you know, I'm very, try to be thorough, but very doubtful. Dale showed me by drilling holes into the beam and said, well, there's about that much thickness of the beam, and it could hold the weight without any issue. I couldn't believe that, so I had to drill the hole myself. I even said to him that if the beam would sag later on, he should take the blame, not me, right? He and I often argue about who is more stubborn, right? And don't tell him, I think I am more stubborn than he is, but I tell him he is more stubborn than I am. About a year and a half later, the partitions are installed and look so beautiful, and I am so happy about that. Yes, I know. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, not me. Thank the Lord. It was a bit too late to learn that God led me into the right manufacturer, a right import broker, among hundreds of them, a Christian, a devout Christian, right people to install the partitions. The point is, I could have simply trusted in God's guidance, enjoyed the whole process from the beginning to the end. But what did I do? I chose the other route and kept on questioning and doubting. Jesus made our life a feast with his presence. But enjoying the feast is up to us. Like a doubting Thomas, we can choose to deny the risen Christ with us. Or we can rejoice by trusting in God's goodness and faithfulness. Jesus came into our life and made our life beautiful. If you don't believe it, go check out the petition and see how beautiful it looks. Let us celebrate life in Christ. Amen. Let us now come to the table of God's mercy as we prepare our hearts to come to the table that Jesus had prepared for our salvation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Remember, this is the feast that Jesus has prepared. And he said, do this as often as you gather and drink it, eat it. So let us remember the body of Christ Jesus broken for our salvation. Jesus himself prepared for us that we may participate in the joy of our salvation. The cup in which we participate and drink from symbolizes the blood of Christ shed unto the very last drop for the forgiveness of our sins. So as we remember what Christ did for us, let us take the bread and drink from the cup. Lord, we frankly acknowledge that we are not worthy to participate in this joyous feast. But Lord, you love us so much, you prepare this feast with your own body, with your own soul, and invited us all. We thank you for your love, for this privilege of being your friend, the guest of this wonderful feast. And as we remember your love and your presence in our lives, O Lord, may we continue this life and celebrate your presence, your love. In Jesus' name.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can put it in the plate as you leave the sanctuary or bring it by the office. And now the choir will come up and present the offertory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
As you filled our life with your presence and your blessings, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. So we give you this gift of thanksgiving into your presence, O Lord, and ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 391, O Happy Day That Fixed My Choice.
Circumstances we may face in our daily living, you are our companion of this life journey forever. And because of your presence, O Lord, we can always rejoice. So help us to celebrate and trust in your goodness and faithfulness and continue on. We thank you for this life of celebration. And it often requires of our faith and wisdom to live with joy and happiness. So teach us, O Lord, that we can always be happy as we hold on to you, as we remember your presence working in our lives. So send us forth with this message of joy that we may rejoice every day, that we may bring glory unto you by this new lifestyle we have found in you. Therefore, send us forth in joy and in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now in peace.
as strong and true. No, he will guide you in all you do. Walk now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all of us can see. God will.